I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. There seems to be agreement that there is a problem, but the accord tends to end right about there. Parents, teachers, lawmakers, the list goes on of people with positions and ideas about the Kansas City, Missouri Public School District. The last year has been an especially difficult one for the district. For the second time in 11 years, the state revoked accreditation in September. The district had only met 3 of 14 statewide standards. This followed the abrupt departure of the district superintendent. Should the state take the district over as soon as possible? Should the district be disbanded and the students sent to neighboring schools? Should the school board remain in control? It's Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. We know there's a problem. It's a solution that has proven so elusive when it comes to the Kansas City, Missouri School District. Here's one way out that's worth at least a conversation. Is it still worth having a Kansas City, Missouri School District or not? After all the years of turmoil and controversy and the all-too-regular turnover of superintendents, is it time for a drastic change with a complete disbanding of the district and nearby districts taking over? Meantime, a pair of ideas is getting most of the scrutiny these days. One calls for a state-appointed board to replace the current school board. But what makes sense for a district that last year earned only 3 of a possible 13 points for accreditation? What should future governance look like? Should there even be a district? Joining us today to talk about all this, Jamika Kendricks is a parent and one of the leaders of the District Advisory Committee. Jamika, welcome. So nice to have you this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us is KCUR Sylvia Maria Gross. She is host and producer of KC Currents, heard here on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock. Sylvia, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good to be here. Thanks.
And also joining us from the road this morning is State Representative Mike Talboy of Kansas City. He's the Democratic leader of the Missouri House. Mike, it's always good to have you, too. Good morning.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Well, Representative Talboy, what about this idea of disbanding the district and moving the kids to adjoining districts? I believe you oppose this idea, but tell us why. I mean, isn't the district's reputation sullied beyond repair at this point?
Well, I don't think that moving kids into a different district is necessarily going to be the best way to solve the problems that are there. One, you have capacity issues. You have just overall neighborhood issues, and if you're going to keep the buildings with the students and move those into a different district, I think those are going to be logistical problems, not to mention that you do have certain legislation already enacted that defines what the Kansas City, Missouri School District is, and those provisions are based upon the existing boundaries of the district, and it just creates a logistical nightmare. A nightmare for the children, and then another problem where you just have contractual issues as well.
Jamika, do you buy what Representative Talboy is saying here? Would it really be a nightmare, or do you see some possibility?
I also think that it would be a bad decision to move us and have us be a part of other districts. The reason for that is, as a member of the District Advisory Committee, we've done a lot of research about best practices as far as urban districts are concerned. And what we found is that when we look at the surrounding districts that surround Kansas City Public Schools, those districts don't perform any better with the demographic of students that we do. So when you actually pull out Hispanic and Black and low-income students, the percentage of increase in achievement over time in KCPS is actually greater. So they're not doing any better with our demographic of students than we are. So why move the students out if it's not going to improve their achievement?
But isn't there just an issue, Jamika, with sort of the brand image of the Kansas City, Missouri School District? I mean, it's like trying to rehabilitate the image of Richard Nixon in this country. I mean, no one seems to have that much respect for the district and the work it's doing. Why not just say thanks very much, close it up, and try to move on to a new day here?
Well, I'm a parent. Okay. So what's important to me is my child.
Okay.
And my children's education. And so for me, I'm a parent who actually is able to make a choice to either stay in the Kansas City public school system or to go to a charter school or to go to a private school. I chose Kansas City Public Schools because I like the diversity that that offers. I also like the
diversity of students or
of students as well as programming.
And opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter is in a dual language program right now. She's been in it for 2 years, and she's fluent in Spanish. She reads Spanish at a fourth grade level, and she's in the second grade. And she also is reading at a seventh grade level in English. And so I know that it's possible for students to be educated in this district.
And to excel.
Yes, absolutely. I think that for the folks who have chosen Kansas City Public Schools, and there's lots of people like me, we don't feel like it's damaged beyond repair. I think people looking on the outside in who've never actually stepped foot in the schools and have never actually seen those exceptional students that we have feel that way about it. And recently I went to a board meeting, and just, you know, outside of my own child, we had a student from Paseo who for the second year in a row has his artwork being displayed in the White House because he's that good.
Wow. So people are excelling. The district is working, at least for some of the kids, you're saying.
Yes.
Sylvia Maria Grosso, what about this idea of disbanding the district? How much attention is it getting? What do you make of it all?
Well, I haven't heard much talk of it recently. I think the legislation doesn't look like it's really progressing, and looks like the bill that is has garnered the most support is the one or the several bills that would allow the state to take over the district should the Department of Education decide to do
without
so.
Without the two-year waiting period that's in place now.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, there was some interest. I mean, then there were parents who were interested in moving their children when the opportunity arose that possibly they could move to other districts. And there were parents calling the other districts, Independence, Liberty. Well, Liberty, I think, wasn't really on the table, but Raytown, a center school district, and asking about how that would work. Now, that's all tied up in court and also awaiting state legislation. But I think that what Jamika says about that there are satisfied parents, and sometimes people don't really have an image of what's happening in the classroom day in, day out is really true. But there is also evidence that shows that many students are not being served and are not on grade level as they should be.
Sylvia, from a nuts and bolts standpoint, how would dissolution of the district actually work? I mean, are we talking about it, as Jamika just said, would students actually transfer to schools in other districts and physically go to different buildings every day, or would they remain in their current buildings and have those buildings simply administered by principals and administrators from other districts?
Well, a few months ago when this idea was more being discussed, I think Independent Superintendent talked about it, that he was interested in the idea of possibly running a few Kansas City schools, but he thought it would be better for those schools to remain where they were.
And students
didn't
going
feel
to
like they
where
had
they
the
now.
Space issues, the space or necessarily the staffing to move kids. So that I think that was what area superintendents were more interested in, that the schools would each be assigned to different districts.
Mm-hmm. Mike Talboy, state representative here from Kansas City, the mayor has said that Kansas City needs to have its own district. Why do you think that's so important? I mean, good schools are good schools no matter who's running things, right?
Well, I think it is important for particularly a city the size of Kansas City. I mean, that is the largest city in the state of Missouri, to have their own school districts, and it is important.
But why, Mike?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, you have a community there that is used to, one, you do have some good schools in Kansas City, Missouri. And Jamaica's right. You have schools that are excelling. You have students that are excelling. It's important to be able to keep those kids as undisrupted as possible. And I think that there are ideas floating out there that allows for there maybe to be a smaller Kansas City, Missouri school district. That has been one of the ones that has been entertained, while making sure that we also improve accountability for the charter schools, and there's a bill that does that. But I think that for just a general community feel, the problems that the students at the Kansas City, Missouri school district that are having problems face on a day-to-day level are not going to change if they're in Raytown or if they're in Independence or if they're in North Kansas City. Those problems, when they get outside of school, and the socioeconomic problems, the home life problems, all of those different things are still going to exist when the student leaves the building. And those need to be addressed, as well as making sure that, student accountability and their achievement is addressed as well. And so I think that you have a couple problems that don't just get fixed by saying, oh, well, there's no more Kansas City, Missouri School District.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about the future of the Kansas City, Missouri School District and how it should be governed. Should the district continue to exist, in your view, or should it be disbanded and the schools operated by neighboring districts? What do you think about this idea of the state installing a new board for the Kansas City School District, which would wipe out the elected board, which was just put into office here just a few weeks ago? Our number, 816-235-2888, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. State Representative Mike Talboy, where does this legislation stand that Sylvia just mentioned a few minutes ago that would replace the school board of the unaccredited Kansas City, Missouri district with the new governing structure as soon as this year? I believe it just passed the Senate nearly unanimously a week or two ago. Where does it stand right now?
Well, right now it's in the Education Committee in the House. I think that they are waiting on a couple of things from the department, and some of the members of the committee are discussing just making sure that language is correct. I think that that bill, of all the education bills, has the best chance at coming out.
And why is that, Mike?
I think that it's the one that people don't necessarily understand why you would have a two-year waiting period. That would be mandatory. I think they want to give the discretion to the state board. Obviously, if you're a school district that has only had a couple years of a bad run that's caused you to go into some problems, you might get a little bit more leeway. But when you have some of these school districts, whether it be Hayti, whether it be St. Louis, Kansas City, there are a couple others that have been teetering on the brink of becoming unaccredited across the state, that there may be a bigger need for some extreme overhaul. And if that's the case, then give DESE the chance to go in and do that without losing two more years of students in some things. Now, that's not to say that DESE automatically goes in. That's a decision that they will make, and the state boards themselves will decide based upon what they've seen as provisional accreditation is they're trying to get there, and whether or not they see a plan, whether or not they see some accountability, you mentioned the new board that's coming in, all those different factors play into the overall decision making, and what they're going to do, I don't know yet, but I think that people want to give them the discretion to be able to right. do that on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, Mike, let me slow you down. So you're saying if this bill passes, it doesn't automatically mean the state will swoop in and take over. You're saying those conversations would then begin in even more earnest than they are right now, perhaps.
Yes, it gives them the ability to go in, and I think that they will start discussing whether or not that is the prudent course of action, or if something else is where they want to go. And as of right now, I haven't talked to the commissioner nor the board, and I don't think that anybody has to see that they will for sure do one thing or another.
And Mike, you're saying the bill has passed the Senate nearly unanimously. What are its prospects in the House? I believe they're pretty good, right?
Yeah, its companion bill, Representative Mike Lehrer out of Chillicothe, he had one that was virtually identical, and it passed overwhelmingly in the House. So I think that once it gets to the floor, everything will go through. It's just a matter of if they get the language and some of the questions that folks have worked out, but I don't see that as necessarily being a huge hindrance.
And Mike, one more nuts and bolts question here. If it does pass both the House and the Senate, what's Governor Nixon going to do with it?
I assume that he signs it. I haven't heard anything contrary to that.
Okay. You think he's on board. Okay. And Sylvia, the bill actually does what? It goes into effect. Let's just assume the governor has signed it. The state school board can step in and order the elected school board of Kansas City, Missouri to go away, right? It doesn't automatically happen, but it could happen.
Go away or become a, sort of a – I think in St. Louis what happened was that the board still existed, but they had no more power. So it was still sort of maybe an advisory or sort of an elected board that could – that still met, but it didn't have power. In St. Louis, I think it's interesting to look, although the situation was somewhat different, when they lost accreditation in 2007, what the state did was created a 3-member advisory board, and 1 member was appointed by the governor, 1 by the board of aldermen, like the city council, and 1 by the mayor. And they were the governing board, and they are still the governing board. There was the option of returning to an elected board, and I guess the Department of Education decided to remain with this advisory board. And, you know, I think that their progress has been mixed. I mean, they've had some stability that the Kansas City public schools have yet to see. But their scores have risen. They're now provisionally accredited, which is where Kansas City public schools were for most of the past decade. Mm-hmm. But they're not yet necessarily they're not accredited yet. So,
Jamaica, as a parent of the district, how would you feel about the prospect of a state takeover if indeed this legislation passes? Again, Representative Talboy being very clear here, it may not automatically translate to a state takeover. But if that were to happen, how would you feel about it?
Well, I'd like to talk about the bills that you guys were just talking about.
Yeah.
The bill in the Senate and in the House right now is actually a good bill. It's good policy for the Department of Education.
I think
if a district is struggling, then the Department of Education needs to be able to make the decisions that they think are necessary in order to improve achievement in that district. I appreciate the fact that this isn't legislation that mandates that DESE come in and appoint a board, because when you look at urban education across the United States, it's failing. And in the areas where it is actually successful, those places actually have elected boards that are supported by school level governance, where parents, teachers, principals, and students actually work together to assess and identify the needs at the school level. And then they look to the board and the superintendent for support in addressing those needs.
But isn't that happening in Kansas City, Missouri right now?
And actually, this is one of the things that about this bill that I think would be good is that it requires the commissioner to actually come in and if her first move is going to be to switch the governance structure, which is to move from an elected board to an appointed board, then she would have to tell us why she chose to do that. And without assessing how our board is actually doing as far as governance, it'd be really difficult to say the governance of the board is actually impacting the achievement of the students. So it requires DESE to do their job, to actually come in and assess what's going on and figure out what's needed. I think something else that people don't recognize that's going on right now is the state is intervening. They actually began the Regional School Improvement Team, which we call RSID. And what that is essentially DESE, our administrators, our board, teachers. There's 2 teachers, 2 parents, 2 students, and 2 principals. And these folks come together every month to discuss specifically curriculum and how that's improving in the district. Mm-hmm. But then to discuss all of the other things like budget and buildings or
sure,
those kind of things, and how that's contributing to the achievement of students in the district. And this is the kind of thing DESE was supposed to be doing. I like this legislation as well because it actually targets DESE. I think so often in this country, when the school districts begin to fail, then they're targeted and it's like these districts are failing. Well, that's not the truth. DESE has had the option since 2007 of actually providing the type of intensive support that they are providing right now to the district, but they chose not to. And so 5 years later, DESE is finally deciding to do what it is that the law required them to do in the first place. And so now, instead of creating legislation that forces a state-appointed board or legislation that dissolves the district, the folks in Jeff City are actually creating legislation that says, you know, the Department of Education was established to do this. Let's allow those people to do their job
and
to
actually
assess and do it effectively.
You like this bill?
Yeah, because it doesn't require an appointed board. Absolutely.
Jamaica Kendricks, I'm starting to think you should be on the school board yourself. You're doing so well here today. Mike Telboy, before I go to some phone calls here, we have a full board. I want to get to them in just a moment. Help me understand why a state-appointed board might be a better option for the district than a board elected by the people of Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, in some instances, you just don't have people that are willing to go through the signature gathering process, all the votes that, you know, trying to corral voters, trying to get there, or they happen to like the person that's in their spot right now. The issue with the state appointed board also is that all of the members of any of these boards, a majority have to be from the school district, but they also have one or two, and if you're working with a three-member board, it's one, and if you're working with a five-member board, it's two, mm-hmm. that don't necessarily have to be from inside the school district itself. So you can get some insight from outside of the school district, which in some regard people have issue with, and in some they have a view that is not as parochial as somebody that is there to represent, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're representing, you know, their segment of the city, but sometimes that creates the problems that we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at some of the things that people have tried to put in to the myriad of education bills that we've had right now, they take into account that there probably needs to be some sort of outside mm-hmm. input in there as well. Whether or not that is the end-all be-all, obviously you want to have people from inside the school district be the majority, but I think that
right.
people are looking at just different ways to get some ideas put together.
You know, Sylvia, just one final point here. Some folks listening to this might just assume and come to the conclusion that we're just reshuffling the administrative deck one more time. How much difference can that possibly make?
Well, I think that, you know, with Covington's leaving and the loss of accreditation, there really was this call that there needs to be some kind of major change. But, of course, there's been so much disagreement on what that major change means and who that means handing power over to. And so I think that there is that question. I mean, is the governance really what's important in the district?
We keep on using this word stability, and yet we're talking about changing it again, mm-hmm. you know?
And how much of a difference does an elected board versus a state board? I mean, if we even look right now at St. Louis and Kansas City,
yeah.
one could argue that we're in about the same place right now with a state board for the past 5 years and an elected board for the past, you know, however many years.
And again, where we stand today, 3 of 13 points for accreditation based on the last set of scores. You need about 9 points to get full accreditation. So we're a long way from home right now.
Well, right? The district says that. Now it predicts that it will have 5, maybe 6 points towards accreditation, which would make it provisionally accredited.
Okay, let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Gunner from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Gunner. I'm sorry I kept you on hold so long.
No, that's okay. I appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to ask the guest this morning that if what you were talking about earlier about the Kansas City, Missouri School District potentially being disbanded or taken over by adjoining school districts or parts of it, how would that impact the repurposing process?
Repurposing of the old school buildings, right?
Correct. Would they lose those contracts, or would those then become part of the new school district? Or
yeah, I'm not sure we really know here, do we?
I mean, that's a huge question, and I don't know what that. I don't think that they've gotten far enough in the process of really considering that idea to consider that point. But that is a great point. I mean, the school district does so many things beyond, you know, just educate kids, which is, you know, some people could see as problematic, but,
right.
you know, they're now trying to get rid of, what, 30 buildings?
Mm-hmm. Well, the repurposing office is actually, that's part of what is run by the board. It's not under the administration. And so if there were an appointed board put in place, then that appointed board would have to take over that process and figure out what to do with it.
And Steve, that just gets to the point that I had talked about at the beginning. If you are putting these boundaries into Independence, North Kansas City, Raytown,
right.
Center, you do have all of these other logistical issues that you have to figure out, because there are existing real estate contracts. There are all these different, there are property owned by, do those buildings then get reopened because they have capacity issues? I mean, there are all sorts of things that I think it's just not, oh, well, we're going to let these kids go to a different school district and have that be part of the new school district, and it's these zip codes, because there are all these other issues that are out there as well.
Okay. Gunnar, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Let's grab one more call here before a break. Jennifer from Kansas City, Missouri. Jennifer, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
I'm a parent of two kids currently in the district, fairly involved, and I wanted to just give you my observations and one opinion. But the last couple of years, I've been fairly pleased with some of the changes that have been happening on the board. I did support the changes Dr. Covington made with regards to some of the closings, even though those were difficult. They were right to get the foundation in order fiscally and operationally, which then put us in the position of being able to address the achievement issue. Then, unfortunately, he left in August, which set into motion a whole other set of issues. One of the things I've been watching is this discussion of elected versus appointed mm-hmm. boards. One of my concerns is that, from what I've read nationally, they're now finding out that state appointed boards don't have much of a track record for the long-term turnaround of student achievement. They're really great at kind of getting those low-hanging fruit, and you'll get little increases here and there, but that's mainly because I think they deliver stability for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue really is, how are we going to turn around long-term student achievement? And I think one of the reasons they're not as successful, perhaps, is because, again, they're another one of those top-down approaches, which traditionally don't really make much of a dent. It's the bottom-up, which grassroots, school level, going back to that local decision-making, I think, that makes the real difference. So one of my concerns as a parent in one of the schools is really ensuring we're not just trying to implement change for change sake. I think we were starting to, you know, turn around something that we didn't do, you know, we didn't get in the place we were overnight. So, of course, a change to get it turned around isn't going to happen overnight. But I think we were making the proper steps. And I'd really hate to see us implement some sort of an appointed board, either state or mayoral, just because we feel that we need some sort of shock to the system.
Right.
I'm not so sure. One of the things they see nationally, I don't know if you've read much about this, but people always point to New York, Chicago, and D.C. Well, what they're finding now is that, in fact, when you look at those, the data from the student achievement there is that there's actually been increases in the achievement gap in those schools, and that the gains they thought were there in student achievement really are not there anymore.
Yeah.
And you can point to all three of those now, and they're really reexamining whether or not mayoral or state-appointed boards there made a difference, or
right.
mayoral takeovers.
Jennifer, hang on the phone just for a moment. Mike Talboy, let me come back to you again. Mike Talboy, a Democrat from Kansas City House Minority Leader, who joins us this morning from Columbia. Mike, isn't this just what we're talking about here today? And when we talk about the future of this district, here we are talking about more turmoil, more change, the possibility of new governance, new directions for a district, when what I hear on this program week after week when we do these topics is people are tired of change. They want stability. They want long-term focus, which gets back to my original question here. If we can't get stability with this current school district, why not end it, parcel out the students, and parcel out the building to districts where stability is a lot more part of the fabric of those districts, and call it a day, Mike?
Well, because I think that you haven't run through all the options before you completely disband the district.
Mike, we've been doing options in this district for 30 years.
Well, and that is something that people aren't ready. People are not ready inside the district. Now, there are some people that are pretty loud about it. Usually they are from outside of the Kansas City, Missouri School District. But you have this option where you can, if DESE so chooses, they can go in and put some board in place. And that's not a board that changes every 2 years. It's not where we have write-in candidates where the whole thing is a write-in versus write-in candidate. You have people that are there and can serve and don't have to worry about some of these other things that go on and the changes in the board. That's part of the attractiveness
right.
of that option. And I think that given – now, let's not forget, Dr. Covington was completely disingenuous in how he conducted his business inside that school district, particularly over the last year that he was here. He did an incredible disservice to the city, the parents, and the children. And the way he left was so awful that – it made people angry. And when people
right.
are angry like that, they couldn't they could blame him, but he was in Detroit signing a deal to make $1 million. What they then they turned to were the typical kicking point, which is, oh, we just need to do something about the school district because it's the school district's fault. And that's not necessarily where I think now people's mindset is that they're willing to see some of these ideas that we have a renewed parent involvement, we have a renewed interest in the business community and in helping out in some of this moving forward next steps operation that they're looking at. And if there is some sort of map there, I think people are willing to give it one more chance.
But
I think even the legislature is willing to give it one more chance before going in and blowing it up. Because let's face it, the Kansas City contingent, while it is a very strong contingent, doesn't have a majority of votes down here. And if people really wanted to see that change take place and there was that much movement, those bills would have flown through.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, Jamaica, let me go back to my point, though. We are as close to this idea of stability and that we've had in this district for years, and yet as we sit here today, we're talking about the idea of blowing the whole thing up again.
Before I answer that, I have to say I misspoke when we had our first caller call in.
Yeah.
The repurposing office is not under the board anymore. It has actually been moved to something under the administration,
okay.
if that makes a difference with that question.
Sure.
And then secondly, well, in response to your question, my question is, are we looking at stability or are we looking at improving achievement? Because
okay.
I'm not concerned about what the governance structure looks like. I'm concerned with whether or not the kids are learning.
But people seem to say that the way for kids to learn, step one, is to have a stable administrative environment, setting long-term goals and going after them and not changing the administration and changing the sets of goals every year and a half.
And folks who are actually in the Kansas City Public Schools, they know that this is something that we've actually accomplished. While our superintendent has changed, what used to happen is we'd have a superintendent leave, we'd get a new superintendent
with all
with
new
whole
ideas,
new programs,
right.
new ideas, and everything would change.
And with
well,
Stephen Green,
time,
that hasn't changed.
Exactly.
He's kept Covington stuff
this
in
This time,
place.
We kept the same plan. We're moving forward with the same plan. And we also have something in place now that we've never, that in my lifetime, I've not seen. And that is we actually have parents who are ready to be engaged, not just with, you know, doing the fundraisers and coming to school events, but actually, you know, advocating for our children's education, actually looking at what is it that our children are needing. What do
and
our schools
need? And all that's for need? The better, you're saying.
Yes. And we also have a superintendent who agrees that in order for this thing to happen, what you see across the country, again, when looking at success areas where urban education is successful, you see community members, parents, teachers, principals, administrators, the board, everybody coming together to support education. And we have that now. We have the opportunity to do that. One of the things that's frustrating for me as a parent is what I see when looking at the history of the district. Every time we get all those pieces in place, which is very difficult to do, where you have the community ready
right.
to step up. And you have the parents and you have a superintendent who is comfortable with that type of leadership. And you have a board that is supportive of a superintendent. Then we have the state legislature. We have DESE. We have other folks who say, OK, it's time to come in and change. Even the court systems. We had that happen during DSEG. They just decided, you know, let's change everything because it's not working. That's the kind of instability that is crippling education in this district. Now, when we get those pieces in place, if we give it the opportunity to work, then we'll actually see some change. That's what has happened in two places that, you know, I've looked to a lot because I think they had amazing results, Cincinnati and San Diego. Mm-hmm. In those two places, there was no change in governance because who's setting policy for the district really doesn't have an impact at the school level. What has the impact, what needs to happen is we have to go grassroots, not from the top down, but from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. You've got to go into those schools and assess what's going on. For me personally, my mother was a single mom. And so I actually went to Pembroke Hill and graduated from there. But the fact that, you know, I went to Pembroke Hill didn't make me any smarter. And going to Pembroke Hill didn't make me do my work more or anything. Because when I came home, I was still responsible for taking care of four younger sisters.
We'll talk about parental involvement when we get back with Brent from Kansas City, Missouri, who's been waiting very patiently. Let's take a break, a long overdue break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the future of the Kansas City, Missouri School District. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star. And you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed Friday's conversation with KCUR's outgoing general manager, Patty Cahill, you'll find that plus a fan's notes at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the program, Kids Hurting Other Kids, we take a look at the teen bullying epidemic with psychologist Wes Crenshaw. This hour, we're talking about the future of the Kansas City, Missouri School District with Missouri Representative Mike Talboy of Kansas City. Jamika Hendricks is a parent and one of the leaders of the District Advisory Committee. And Sylvia Maria Gross from KCUR, host and producer of KC Currents, which deals with this issue frequently. That show is heard here Monday evenings at 8 o'clock. Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888. Our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Let's go to Brent from Kansas City, Missouri, who's been holding on very patiently. Brent, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you just kind of touched on it before the break. Really what I see is the problem is parent involvement, and you can't have 50, 60, 70% parents concerned. I mean, you've got to have all of them concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to different districts, having a state board, until the parents really, really care, and the kid comes home, make sure the homework's done. Until you have that with, you know, I don't know what the magic number would be, but I would guess over 90% of them caring, it's not going to make a huge difference. And I hear that there are a lot of parents. I live in KCMO, and I'm leaving. You know, my daughter starts kindergarten this fall, so I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to wait, and I can't take the gamble on her education. And until all the parents decide that, you know, the number one priority when you have kids is their education, it's not going to change. I mean,
Jamika, what would you say to Brent?
And I know this is probably not going to be an answer that's well received, but I think that's part of the problem. I think we have some parents. Well, parents are often looked at as being uninvolved or not caring. I don't think that's true. I think there would have been a time when people would have said that about my mother, but it wasn't that she wasn't uncaring. But I started working when I was 14 because I had to help to support my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad wasn't in the picture. He had some mental health issues and was unable to be there. And so for me, taking care of our family and making sure we had lights and gas was a little more important than being able to go home and do my homework. I also think part of the reason that I chose to stay in the district and chose to live where I do is because a lot of us who actually are successful by normal standards choose to leave. And when we have those parents who value education and those parents who are involved and engaged leaving, then that has a negative impact on the city and the district as a whole.
Brent, what would you say to that, Brent?
Pardon?
What do you say to that, Brent?
I understand that, and I don't feel like I'm flaunting my civic duty. You know, I vote, I do everything I need to, but, you know, I just... Could my daughter get a good education? Yes, she's already knows how to read. Not that we're, you know, one of those kind of parent set of parents that is on top of their kid. oh, you've got to overachieve. But she just, through us reading to her, she wanted to learn how. We taught her. And do I think she could be successful? Yes. But do I want to, you know, she's got one shot at it. You know, I can't go back over and do kindergarten again. I can't go back over and do first grade. You know, it's got to be there from the beginning. And
I hear you, Brent. Sylvia, hop in here.
Well, I think the challenge when you're talking about this question of parental involvement, and research shows that the more parental involvement you have in schools, the more successful students are. And I think everybody agrees on that. But how do you mandate parental involvement? And you know, you are talking normally about very economically distressed families, parents who either can't or don't know how or don't want to maybe take care of their kids the way they should, or we might say they should. And so what is to be done about that if that's what you're counting on to save the district? Well, there are, I think, programs that are either working with parents when children are very young ages, programs like the Harlem Children's Zone in New York that is have like a baby university when parents have babies and work with them towards developing their children's education and developing their parent skills. And then on the other hand, I think that there are some schools and classrooms that show success within the four walls of the school and recognize the challenges that parents have, but, you know, measure what kind of success they can make and do make progress with students without involving parents. I think that there are models on both sides. And the challenge is that the conversation when you say, well, if the parents don't start getting more involved, nothing's going to happen, the conversation can end.
You know, Mike Talboy, I want to come back to you just for a second. What is the reputation of the Kansas City, Missouri School District in Jeff City? What do other lawmakers say about it?
Well, it's not shining.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of the things that you have verbalized on the show today, just as the issues that are there, you know, the 30 years of up and down and basically everywhere, the multiple superintendents, the problems with, you know, the quality of school board candidates in the past, the fact that we had three of the four races this time, I think, were write-ins only. You had, since I've been down here, you've had a ton of backbiting on the board, very publicly, you know, after Covington left, obviously you had Arthur Benson going after several members and some different things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it's not a shining example of how you would want to have a school board conduct itself. But that said, I do agree with Jamaica. I mean, some of the stuff that has started to transpire by parents that are very much in the realization that they have their kids there and they want the school district to succeed, have really started to take on an active role that we haven't necessarily seen in years past. And they've been much more public about it. And I think that's where some of this that people are willing to maybe give the one last chance has come from, is that there is a public perception that the parents are now starting to really get involved. And there are parents in this district that just can't, if they want to be able to feed their family, get as involved as they should,
right,
whether it be with the school district or with the child themselves. And trying to make sure that those kids have resources available to them and different things like that. And you also have a mayor that has made education very front and center in his administration, even though there isn't anything in the mayoral agenda or the duties that have to do with the school district itself. And he's made it very public, which has moved public perception, I think, in some ways. And I think all of those things are helping the image. But for the most part, you know, people are just, I think, resigned to the fact that we're going to be in this up and down for quite a while. And some people are fed up with it.
Yeah.
Some people are willing to give it another chance.
A listener from Overland Park writes this: as hard as people try, the present elected board system has been an abject failure, but there is little evidence an appointed board will do better. This is not a matter of governance, but one of race, poverty, and social inequity in Kansas City and all major urban areas. Unless these factors are squarely addressed by legislators, we will be talking about this for another decade. Jill writes this: the fact is other districts do not want to educate KC students. Busing them to other districts, if that would happen to be the case, would be a huge upheaval for children and their families, too. You know, we haven't talked yet this morning about this idea that board president Eric Leonard West has tossed out, because he's proposed a plan that would create a three-member advisory board appointed by the mayor to work alongside the elected board. The proposal would also call for new state legislation to reduce the number of board members from 9 to 7, one from each subdistrict, but all elected at large. I gather this idea is wiped out if the state legislation goes into effect for a state takeover. Do I have that right, Sylvia?
No. I think that one of the bills, but Representative Tallboy can correct me, I think has that built into the legislation. But
this idea of Eric Leonard West?
Mm-hmm, or okay. Part of it, at least.
Mm-hmm. Does he, Mike?
Yeah, it is in Myron Neff's bill, and it just got voted out of the Education Committee last week, I believe.
Republican from up in Liberty. Yeah, okay. But how is this idea being received from Eric Leonard West, Sylvia?
Well, I think I believe, and Jamaica can maybe confirm this, that the board did approve it, and they didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that there are people who, again, want to show that the board is willing to make some kind of change and believe that having all of the members elected at large would maybe lead to and they would be elected at large, but each from one of the different subdistricts.
Right.
So they would represent each of the different parts of the city, but maybe would lead to more harmony on the board and more sort of unity moving forward. I think there's others who would argue when they're elected at large, you know, it's the majority of the residents of the district who are not the majority of parents in the district, mm-hmm. who are making the decisions as to how the district moves forward, and that the subdistricts don't get represented, particularly subdistricts where the majority of parents do have kids in the district.
But Representative Mike Tallboy, how is this idea being received by lawmakers in Jefferson City, this idea of Eric Leonard West for kind of a hybrid idea? Is it staving off this idea of passage of a state takeover bill?
Well, I think it's a alternative. And actually, the advisory board idea is not in that legislation. The idea of shrinking the board size, having each sub-district represented on an at-large basis, but your residency having to be inside the sub-district, the idea of moving the elections to August, and the idea of having mayoral appointees for vacant positions for the remainder of that term before standing election again. Those are the provisions that are in there. As far as the bill itself, I mean, look, it just got out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't passed the rules to my knowledge yet. If it does, then you're still talking about 2 or 3 days before it can get to the floor if it's seen as priority legislation. I think that the prospects of that are pretty slim. I think the two bills that you really could see education-wise are the Charter School Accountability Bill and the idea of stripping the two-year requirement
right.
away. Those are the two bills that I think you're going to have the best chance at seeing right now,
right.
unless there are some significant deals worked out.
Dale from Kansas City, Missouri. Dale, you're on Up to Date, and thanks for holding on for us.
Yes, good morning. I'm a recently retired teacher from Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, thank you for your service, yeah.
And at times I felt like I was in the service.
Mm-hmm.
two concerns I had and still have was the lack of uniformity among the administrators. Administrators were often appointed because they were qualified, not necessarily because they were the best qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the Riggins case, if you remember that one. And the other thing that really concerned me is the behaviors in the classroom that the administration. I went out in 10, so I'll say up to that point. The administration accepted misbehaviors, kept making excuses for children for young people who were not prepared for school or willing to allow other students to learn in school. I found that exceptionally frustrating because I hear all this stuff about we need a representation. What we need is a well-run school district that has set a set of goals and what they want is educating children and setting up an environment in the classrooms where not blaming the not blaming the teachers for everything, but saying to, you know, your children must behave as well.
Right, right.
And I'll leave it there.
Dale, maybe a good way to end this program. Thanks for your phone call, and thanks to our great panel for taking some time with us today. Mike Talboy, State Representative from Kansas City. Always appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you, Steve.
Jamika Kendricks, a parent and one of the leaders of the District Advisory Committee. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And as always, Sylvia Maria Gross from KC Currents, heard here on Sunday afternoons at 5, Monday evenings at 8. Always good to have you, Sylvia.
Good
thanks
to be
very
here.
Much. Tomorrow on the program, Kids Hurting Other Kids. We're taking a look at the teen bullying epidemic with psychologist Dr. Wes Crenshaw. Our music is by Bobby Watson and the UMKC Conservatory of Music Concert Jazz Band. We had help today from KCUR's Kathleen Pointer, Danny Alexander, Maria Carter, and Kim Noble. The show is produced by Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.